We've all got our favourite YouTube channels and content creators. Maybe you're a YouTuber yourself, or it's something you've been wanting to do. But have you given any thought to how much work it takes to build and maintain a YouTube channel? Spoiler alert, it might not be as easy as it looks. There are increasing numbers of YouTubers who are posting videos about burnout. They're talking about having chronic fatigue, breakdowns, depression. So in this episode, we are going to pull back the curtain on what reality is like for a YouTube content creator. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and this is What in the World from the BBC World Service. Here with me in the studio is William Lee Adams from the What in the World team. Hi, William.
Hey, Hannah.
People who are listening to this might not know, but actually you have a big fat side hustle, as well as being one of our amazing producers. You are also a YouTuber yourself, and you've got 200,000 subscribers on your channel. What did it take for you to build that channel and to keep it growing?
Oh, you know, I was looking at the data before I came in here, and I've had 215 million views. But if I rewind to when I had 5,000 or 6,000 views, there's so much stress, anxiety, headache, and heartache in that journey. And at the beginning, you've just got to do it. Get out there, pursue what you love, make videos about it. That's like the cornerstone of everything. And that'll get you so far. Then comes the headache and the heartache, right? People start leaving nasty comments. People start questioning your abilities. And you have to persevere. I kind of compare it to making a soup. If, say, I made the best carrot soup in Italy. And I'm not just making the soup. I'm buying the carrots. I'm skinning the carrots. I'm cutting the carrots. I'm freezing the carrots. I'm marketing the carrot soup. I'm paying the utility bills to have the restaurant open. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot behind the curtain. Coming up with the idea. Securing the interview. Editing the interview, fixing the sound, figuring out what to wear, getting it up online, editing it, marketing it, leveraging social media to get people to watch it. It's sort of an endless cycle.
Is it worth it compared to how much you're putting into it?
It's a really good question. And for me, it is worth it because it's led to other opportunities. And also YouTube, when you reach a certain level, they start giving you training courses. You can access the YouTube space, which has elaborate sets and equipment, and you can grow your skills.
Perhaps the biggest incentive for YouTubers is the revenue they make from ads. To find out how it all works, we asked Robin Kaplan, a PhD and assistant professor at the Sanford School of Public Policy at Duke University, and she sent us this.
The vast majority of revenue that YouTube is making is through advertising that is running on content that is uploaded by users. 55% of that is actually supposed to go to creators, and 45% of that goes to the platform. In some cases, you may see an ad running on a video, and the creator actually might not see any of those advertising dollars because that video might be demonetized because it doesn't follow the advertiser-friendly guidelines, according to YouTube. One of the major issues is that creators don't know when their video is going to be demonetized. So these algorithms are incredibly sensitive. They tend to do things like look through the transcripts of the videos. And if you use a word, so for instance, we saw this a lot with COVID-19. If creators were talking about COVID-19, their video could be demonetized because the platform was concerned about misinformation about COVID-19.
I've heard people talk about the algorithm gods of YouTube. Like there's this unknown thing that decides whether your video is going to be picked and shown to the masses. How do you pander to the algorithm gods?
Those gods, they can be harsh and they change from time to time. So pre-2012, it was all about views and clicks. How many people are clicking? How many people are viewing? Then from 2012 to 2015, it was all about viewing time. How long are people watching videos? So then people were shortening the length of their videos so people would watch a greater percentage. Since 2015, it's been much more complicated. You have engagement. So likes, dislikes, comments. Are you responding to comments? And so in some ways, getting negative attention could actually help your videos. If lots of people are saying this is deeply offensive, then the algorithm could actually promote you because it was drawing people to you. And so as a creator, you really have to do multiple things. You have to be a data scientist. You have to look at what is performing well on your channel. You have to be a content creator in the sense that you're writing scripts. You have to analyze, you know, SEO, what's getting people to click.
So William, what does burnout look like for a YouTuber? What are some of the symptoms or warning signs?
The first symptom is fatigue, the inability to sleep. The fact is, the internet is 24/7. It doesn't go to bed. And oftentimes, creators feel like they can't. There's so much anxiety about producing, having the next video, because the algorithm rewards consistency. So if you're ill, if you're tired, that doesn't matter to the algorithm. The algorithm needs you producing constantly. During my YouTube career, my father passed away, my brother passed away, and during their funerals, I took 2 weeks off. And I remember opening YouTube in the middle of that grief while I was trying to pull myself out of bed. And people were like, you haven't updated lately. And I just wanted to be like, you know what? I do have a life outside of this, but you can't say that, obviously. So eventually I just explained very politely, I'm going through some things right now. I'll be back soon. But there's that anger, the fact that you can't meet people's expectations because they feel like you're failing them. And then oftentimes you feel like you're failing them as well.
You have been speaking to YouTubers. Have they had similar experiences to you?
It is a tale as old as YouTube. You know, you develop a profile at any level and you're harassed. YouTube is, of course, a global platform, and there are popular YouTubers everywhere. And in Nigeria, there is a tech YouTuber named Yugisin Korch.
When I first started out, one of the major issues was, would it succeed? Like, would I succeed? I'm putting my time and effort into this thing. Now, it's more of, are the videos good enough? Like, in terms of views, in terms of quality. So it can be exhausting, because it takes time to do this, to think of ways to make each video different from the last one. So I have put out videos where it tanked, essentially. For the rest of the day, my mood is ruined. And I try to focus on the next one, but it's so crushing. It takes days, sometimes weeks, to make a video. So when you put that much effort into something and then it doesn't perform well, it definitely makes you feel, you know, terrible. Sometimes I see comments dropped by people and my mood is ruined for the rest of the day. I don't feel creative at all. When your mind isn't in a good place, you can't really make content. Some could just be like racist comments. I posted an unboxing of a phone and someone commented, why are his hands not white? And I was like, what? And then that kind of messed me up a little bit.
One of my friends has a very popular YouTube channel, nearly 900,000 subscribers. I actually spoke with him for this episode. Here's what he had to say.
Hello, everyone. So I am Roly. I am a YouTuber, and my channel is just called Roly itself. And I've been making content since 2008. Primarily, I do stuff now regarding tattoos, piercings, and LGBTQ lifestyle.
I know that some of your most popular videos are the ones where you're responding to hate comments. What types of negative comments do you have to deal with, and how does that affect your mental health?
So the biggest things I get now is more kind of, you look like a monster, what are you talking about? Because of course now I'm quite heavily modified with tattoos as well as piercings. I get a lot of like, your family must be so disappointed, when in reality they're very proud. But you know, there is a lot of homophobia as well. I get called every single slur under the sun. You could, but I've been doing this for so long now that at this point it's like quite comical, and I see a new comment that might be hateful. Of course, I don't want every comment to be horrible, but sometimes when I do see them, I'm like, oh, that's for the video. That's for a video. That's for a TikTok. And it's kind of nice to turn something negative into a positive, to show so many people, like anonymous people on the internet, if you didn't know about them existing beforehand, why would you care what they think?
Sometimes in the media, we see this phrase, YouTube burnout. How did you tackle it when you faced it?
YouTube and social media changes so fast that if you don't keep up to date with what the latest things that are happening, you can get left behind very easily. And burnout for me, there's been a few times since doing this full time where I've gone, do I really want to make another TikTok piercing video? Because I've made like 100 at this point. And then you have to just remind yourself that like, this is making people happy. And like, I've met so many people over the years who have said that my content has helped them, that that is enough to keep me going.
Roly, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Goodbye.
I'm just going to pause our chat for a moment to tell our listeners about some of the other stories that we have covered on What in the World, especially ones where we have spoken to content creators. For example, we did one about why more men are wearing makeup and whether social media apps could help you to save money. So if you're new to us, please do hit subscribe, and you can find more stories like these ones wherever you get your BBC podcasts. Now, William, you've spoken to YouTubers who have experienced burnout. What would your advice be for avoiding it?
I think the number one rule is to know your limits. You need to set boundaries on what you allow yourself to do. Schedule breaks. Go take a walk. Leave your computer. You need to learn to say no.
We actually got in touch with YouTube and we asked them to comment on some of the things we've been talking about. And they sent us this statement.
We want creators to produce content in ways that will allow them to be both successful and sustainable. And we're investing in the tools to help them do that. We have a whole team capturing creator feedback to improve products. We have invested in self-help resources to ensure creators can help themselves.
Back to Robin now. She told us that burnout is not something that's just experienced by YouTubers.
The media industry has always been fairly precarious, that has operated more on a freelancer status, on a project by project case. And so I think that people who create things tend to suffer burnout. That is a problem that is endemic to the media industry. These are not new problems. These are ones that have existed for a very long time. And what we're seeing with YouTube is not new. It is just a new labor contract.
William, it is so great to have you on the team. I feel like we've shed light onto your second life, your side hustle. It's been really interesting. So thank you. Thanks for coming on and sharing.
Same to you.
And to everyone who is listening to this, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of What in the World from the BBC World Service. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and we'll see you next time. Bye.